The NFL, I guess we're still technically in week 12 because there's a game tomorrow at 3:40 p.m. Eastern time. And the reason for that is because of the tree going up at Rockefeller Center. You guys hear about that yesterday? Like, yeah. NBC had to knock off a massive primetime football game because of a tree. So that one hurts for the NFL. I never thought I'd see the day.
Well, NFL is usually such a power. I mean, they run the show.
They generally do, and obviously NBC, I'm sure, was thinking we'd get more ratings from the football game, but maybe tradition trumps all. I don't know. Yeah. But the tree wins. The tree wins over football. Here's a longtime NFLer, longtime Cleveland Brown, and one of the best in the business on the NFL Network here is Joe Thomas. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. Obviously, the chat around the NFL today is revolving around the Philadelphia Eagles and just how ugly it's become down there. And Carson Wentz is officially in whipping boy mode. Do you jump on that train? Is it all on Wentz, or how do you evaluate what's gone wrong in Philly?
Well, anytime you got a quarterback that's not playing well, it's not always the quarterback's fault. A lot of it's the scheme and the coaching, because the quarterback position is so much about decision-making and being put in the right decisions to execute. Obviously, Carson deserves a good bit of the blame because his decision making hasn't been good. He's been taking sacks, he's been throwing interceptions, and largely there's been a lot of injuries on the Eagles. But if you want to point to one thing that's caused them to lose the number of games that they've lost, it's play at the quarterback position, whether that be taking the sacks, throwing the pass where it shouldn't be thrown. And I think it's fair to start saying, hey man, maybe Carson Wentz isn't the long-term answer at quarterback that maybe we thought he was a couple years ago.
So in saying that, what kind of timeline are they going to put this guy on? How many more games are they going to march him out there and watch this nonsense and before they pull the pin on him?
Well, I think us as NFL fans, you know, we always want to be drastic because it's more fun to be drastic and dramatic, and I fall into that just as much as anybody. But when you're talking about the quarterback position, most important position in all of sports, you got to look at what is my option? What are my alternatives? And a lot of times when you're talking about the quarterback position, you don't have alternatives. Yeah, they've got Jalen Hurts there, but I think the people in that building have probably seen a little bit from Jalen so far this season, and they're not sure. They definitely aren't sure that he is going to be a better option. But also, I think it's important to remember that Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate just a few years ago, and I think the Eagles were feeling pretty good about him as their long-term answer at quarterback. And so before I do anything at quarterback, I would try to make sure that the coaching situation is right, because it's a lot easier to find a coach than it is to find a quarterback. So I think urging some patience at the quarterback position is important. It's prudent. But if there is a change that's going to be made, I think it should be made at that coaching position, whether that be the offensive coordinator, head coach, quarterback coach, somewhere in there, because I think a couple more games like we've seen, and I think they do need to look at maybe shaking things up a little bit on that offensive side of the football.
With longtime NFLer, NFL Network analyst Joe Thomas, DK Metcalf went off last night. He's been going off all year, and really throughout his career. It's his second year in the league, and he's put up massive numbers. And he is in the conversation as, you know, maybe the most dominant wideout in the game. I think I'd probably put Hopkins ahead of him. I think I'd put Adams ahead of him. I might put Tyreek Hill ahead of him, but he's in that chatter. Do you have him in the top three or four wideouts in the league? And he's starting to get compared to Megatron. Could you see that being a part of his future where he just puts up massive numbers and dominates the NFL for an extended period of time?
Yeah, I definitely think he needs to be in that conversation of one of the top three guys, because you look at the Seattle Seahawks, they've got a terrible defense. They've got an outstanding generational quarterback, and the number one target that he's been thrown to is DK Metcalf. He's the consistent, and even though defenses know where the ball is going to go, he's been so dominant, you can't shut him down, even with double teams and even with some of the rolling and coverage that they're trying to do to try to take him away. So I think when you look at that, you got to say he's one of the most dominant, most impactful receivers in the game. I think right now, if you said, hey, would you rather have Tyreek Hill or DK Metcalf? I still would say Tyreek Hill because of what he did last week.
And it's just, yep.
That speed is nearly impossible to limit, and the way that even when he doesn't get the ball, he is creating separation in the secondary by taking the top off the defense, by running downfield, grabbing that coverage, and he opens everything else up for everybody on the field. Now, DK Metcalf is very similar, and, you know, maybe down the line, as he continues to develop as a receiver, he might overtake Tyreek Hill. But I think right now I still think it's Tyreek Hill. Then I would say DK Metcalf. And I love DeAndre Hopkins, but he doesn't have the ability to go down the field quite as much as a DK Metcalf or a Tyreek Hill. And I think those guys that catch those deep passes are more impactful on the game than those intermediate and short catching receivers, those slot receivers, those guys like Hopkins, who are more well known for being reliable underneath than they are down the field.
With Joe Thomas. So we got a ball game tomorrow. We were referencing prior to you coming on. I think the NFL got bumped for a tree tomorrow night. So the game's going to be at 3:40 p.m. in Pittsburgh. And the line is out of control, which is not surprising at all. I think it's Steelers like minus 10.5. And it feels like the Ravens are obligated to show up, lose, and move on, and then hope they can beat Dallas next Tuesday. But as it currently stands, they're in tough in the AFC. They're clearly not going to catch the division leader. I'm not sure they can keep up with your Browns. If you were putting your own money down as of today, would you bet on the Ravens making the playoffs or missing the playoffs?
Well, if I'm betting today, I think they missed the playoffs because they are dealing with this crazy COVID situation right now where they've had like two walkthroughs in the last basically 2 weeks. So they haven't really practiced a lot. You really lose your rhythm and your flow when you have these long extended breaks. And then they're going to have to come back and play a Wednesday afternooner and then turn around again and play Dallas on Tuesday. Really screws up any type of rhythm that you can try to get into. Lamar Jackson has really been struggling in the last 6 or 7 games. He's not done a very good job. His pass rating has been really low. He's struggled historically against the Steelers. They are a high blitzing percentage team. They've been able to affect Lamar Jackson. They've been able to get him off his spot and force him to throw from outside the pocket. But also they've done a good job of getting him outside the pocket and then not allowing him to make some of those big plays with his feet. So the Steelers have really been kryptonite on Lamar Jackson. So I don't think they win this game. And the AFC's tough. I think you got to get to 10 or 11 wins to be able to get one of those wild card spots because you do have this large glut of teams that are kind of not going to win their division but still going to win 10 or 11 games, like you mentioned the Browns, potentially the Dolphins, the Colts. I mean, there's a bunch of teams that are going to be right there. And so falling behind and going to 6-5 after this Steelers game does not look very good for the Ravens, especially the way they've been playing. I mean, they've always been able to count on their defense playing pretty good, but even their defense has struggled in recent memory. So unless something crazy changes on Wednesday afternoon, the big rivalry there between the Steelers and the Ravens, I just don't see how they're able to get things back on track and still make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We're chatting with longtime NFLer Joe Thomas. Your Browns are picking up wins. I mean, they made it tough on themselves on Sunday against the Jags, but a win is a win is a win, and they're only two.
A win.
Is a win for the boys when you've got them in the survivor pool in Week 12. But there are only two quarterbacks in the NFL that did not throw a pick through the month of November. One of them was Deshaun Watson, who was, you know, putting it back together after a horrible start, and by the end of the year is going to have, I think, a great stat line. The other is Baker Mayfield. And when we had you on back in, I think, late August, early September, we posed a question to you asking who you think is going to have a better year, Baker Mayfield or Jared Goff. And we promised to get you on at the end of the season, so this is not complete. This is just kind of a Week 12 breakdown based on where your head currently stands on this topic. And we'll have to do it again in about a month, month and a half when everything is complete here. But let's revisit that topic. Based on what we've seen through 12 weeks, who has had a better season so far, Baker Mayfield or Jared Goff?
Well, as much as Baker has had a up and down season, in recent memory, I'm feeling pretty good about Baker Mayfield.
Baker.
We heard Sean McVay coming out over the weekend. He wasn't exactly defending Jared Goff as this quarterback that he loves. So I think at this point, Jared has still had a better season than Baker, but the way the needles are headed, I feel pretty good about coming back on in January sometime and somebody owing me a few Labatt Blues. That's all I'm saying right now.
Yes, sir. I like it. All right. That's all we needed to hear. Go ahead.
No. Let's get to something that's actually relevant and important in the NFL. Fill in this blank, because we had a healthy debate yesterday, and it was a simple one. Somebody on Sunday put a stranglehold on the MVP. Who in the NFL for you would that be? Fill in the blank.
You got to say Patrick Mahomes. I've been on the Aaron Rodgers the MVP bandwagon for a while.
Thank you.
And he
played
great.
Joe.
But what Patrick Mahomes has done right now, he has firmly planted Kansas City as the best team, the team to beat in the NFL, putting up outrageous numbers. And really, when you look at that offense, there's really no way you can limit them. You can't blitz Patrick Mahomes. You can't sit off on Patrick Mahomes. There's nothing you can do to slow him down. And then their defense is actually playing pretty well. If Patrick's behind, he's going to catch up. If they're ahead, they're just going to put the gas down even further and throttle you. So I think right now Patrick Mahomes has a stranglehold. And unless something crazy happens down the stretch here, I think he wins the MVP.
And what happens, Joe, is people like the guy that is my host here, they get tired of the greatness. They get bored with it, and they have to go sniffing around for something else.
Yeah,
that's what
Aaron Rodgers is an undrafted.
I'm not saying that,
squad,
but you're completely discarding.
He's Ben DiNucci. Aaron Rodgers is Ben DiNucci. He's greatness before Mahomes was even in high school.
Joe, you know what I'm saying. People just forget about the greatness, and they start sniffing around for something else, which gets you in trouble.
I hear you. I mean, you look, it's hard to argue that Bill Belichick was the greatest coach of the last 20 years, but he still didn't win Coach of the Year every year, even though he probably did the best job when you think about it, because you just get sick of voting for the same guy all the time. You get sick of the greatness. So I understand it, a little human nature. That's okay, guys.
All right. Well, listen, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, and there's still a lot more runway here to see how it all plays out. And I think the favorite in Vegas is clearly Mahomes. That's not a shock by anybody. But Rodgers, I think, is lurking. And I think the narrative that I expressed yesterday continues to pop up. And the underlying analytics would suggest old number 12 up in Wisconsin's putting on a clinic. But we'll see. And we'll get you back on for Baker v. Goff and see what happens the rest of the way here. Always great catching up with you. Thank you for doing this, Joe.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. I'm looking forward to that January date. I'm getting thirsty already.
You got it, buddy. We'll make sure to send him. There he is, Joe Thomas, longtime NFLer, all-pro left tackle and NFL Network analyst.
So now we've had Marcellus Wiley on Mahomes, Inner Circles NFL, Joe Thomas Mahomes, and my buddy Carl from the NFL Network will be joining us later in the show. Another NFL insider, and I guarantee you he'll say Mahomes.
Well, of course he will, because we're talking about sheep. You know, sheep, everyone's just following, you know, the leader here, and everyone's just saying that Mahomes is the guy. And Mahomes has had a spectacular year. But Pro Football Focus, which is the Bible of football analytics, has rated Aaron Rodgers as a more productive quarterback this year.
So, take it right to Kelowna, right into the Tim Hortons.
Yeah. That's fine. I hear you, man. We'll see.
He's right there,
and I think the narrative, which I laid on the line yesterday, I think is going to go a long way. That the draft, what happened with the draft, the fact that no weapons were added, the fact that Mahomes has got Tyreek Hill, who might be the best wideout in the league, although Devontae Adams, I think, is right there. But
Do you think voters care about the sad face when the draft went down?
Of course. I think intangibles factor in from time to time.
Not everybody's into the content game like you are, okay?
Some people are just
established voters with credibility. They don't care about the content game. Sad faces, Instagram posts, going on a radio show saying another quarterback's bad or one of my bad seasons is another quarterback's great seasons. Speaking of quarterbacks, and you were chirping Ben DiNucci, I think our boy Jerry down in Dallas had a chirp for Benny too.
Yeah, he did. He did his weekly
radio. It was
radio
awful.
Hit.
He was asked about Denver having to play that quarterback, and he basically came out and says, "That's like our boy Jerry DiNucci." And how does that make
you? Do you want to hear it? We have the clip.
Oh, yes, I'd love to.
The owner, the GM, the president, the water boy, super fan, Jerry Jones, on his weekly radio hit down in Dallas. This is what he said this morning.
You take risks when you put all the quarterbacks in the same room. If you were worried about those things, you can spread them out a little bit. You can not even you can save one. I don't know that that Denver had any more of a challenge than we've had with DiNucci or with the young quarterbacks that we've had.
Kendall Hinton is a wide receiver on the practice squad. Ben DiNucci is a quarterback that Jerry Jones personally drafted, and he said it's the exact same challenge.
That's
a tough one.
How do you feel?
Oh, that
that's
hurts,
so gutless.
And how do the boys not chirp him a little bit when he, like, how do you not start calling him Kendall in the room, especially as a rookie? Yeah. You know DiNucci is going to take some heat.
Oh, for sure. That is tough.
Yeah.
That is tough.
That
and
hurts.
That's the owner. Just shooting from the hip. That's what he thinks of him, too.
Exactly.
That sucks.
I was sick when you had to play quarterback for my team because I knew we were going to lose.
Yeah.
That's basically what he said.
Good.
There's some investigations going on online about a potential burner account for Matt Patricia, which I love the burner account.
I love.
It's the greatest.
You talk
game.
About the Halloween music. If you had that burner account, like Colangelo in Philadelphia, when you know that your burner accounts are going down and everything's being documented, you talk about Halloween music, that is playing loud in your head when if you get busted.
Yeah, the Colangelo story is still one of the most
incredible,
incredibly groundbreaking, multi-layered debates, conversations, content makers in the history of this show.
Like, dude, that was Horatio Caine type stuff. Putting all
crazy.
The whoever that investigative journalist was that tracked back to different comments, different kind of locations, the kid.
Who they're following.
Following and different stuff. It was incredible.
Because you get sloppy with a burner account and start following someone that's going to tip off who you are. You know, then it's like, that's like your kid's friend, your kid's coach. It's like, why would this guy randomly be following Brian Colangelo's kid's coach
on
Twitter?
That's get that guy on tomorrow from Philly that dug that stuff up and tracked it, and we'll see how he can sniff out Patricia.
Yeah, it was with the Ringer, I think. I don't think that's the guy who's actually, you know, breaking this.
Who cares?
Story
we'll ask
down.
Him how we track down Patricia.
Yeah, but the Twitter account is at Eddie P. Lions fan. It's just every tweet is coming to the defense of Patricia, and everyone else is a buffoon. Everyone else sucks. Matt Stafford, Bob Quinn, the GM, just everyone else is brutal, but Patricia is the greatest. And I love the burner account game. I love that we live in the burner account era. I'm so glad we get to be on the air during this era because it's totally unique to 2020, right?
Like, it's amazing. So one of the greatest players in the NBA admitted to having burner accounts, Kevin Durant. It's incredible.
It's weird. It's really weird, though. It admits that you care that much about it.
Right. Don't kid yourself. There
you
is a ton of them. There is a bunch of people that have burner accounts. I know for a fact.
I know for a fact as well. But it's one thing to have it just to follow along. It's another
it's
thing
another
to actually
be active.
Engage.
Yeah, to be active.
To search, you know, for your name as a burner account and defend yourself under the guise of anonymity. I mean, it's crazy, right? It's crazy. Like, it really is, but it happens, and it's happened a lot.